So we have 12 and the 12 apostles, the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 tribes of Israel. This number 12 just keeps 12 months of the year.
12 labors of Hercules.
12 labors of Hercules. So.
The 12-step program.
What?
The 12-step program.
Yeah, 12-step program. Yeah, 12 is kind of a number of perfection. So it's an interesting number. It's a great number for us to shoot for. Okay, let's look at other correspondences. We can use a law of correspondences in all kinds of different interpretations. If we look at the scriptures, for instance, want to know how to interpret them, the law of correspondences is a big aid there. For instance, what does water symbolize? We have the elements earth, water, air, and fire. Okay? What do these correspond to?
Emotions, mind, spirit, and matter.
Okay. Okay, the solid part is matter, concretized thought. Water is symbolic of emotion. It's also symbolic in the scriptures of masses of people. Why is it symbolic of masses of people?
Mob mentality.
Yeah, because masses of people are governed by emotion. So it's kind of correlated to each other. Okay. Air is symbolic of what?
Mind.
Okay. We're entering right now an air side, air sign, which is what?
Aquarius.
Okay, we're entering the sign of Aquarius, and we're leaving what sign?
Pisces.
And Pisces is what?
Water
sign. Okay, so, and you look over the past 2,000 years, it's been an extremely emotional period. The Crusades was very emotional. After the establishment of the church was very emotional time period. People were really attacked for what they believed on an emotional level. All kinds of wars fought over emotional differences. And clear up to World War I and II was kind of a bridge between Pisces and Aquarius in the fact that it was kind of started because on a very emotional level, but it was finished on somewhat of a mental level because of all the inventions and technology that was developed through the two wars. So you had kind of mind and emotion playing out together in the two wars. And mind finally produced fire. And that fire was what? The atomic bomb at the end of World War II. And I believe the explosion of the atomic bomb at the end of the World War II officially started the Age of Aquarius. But DK tells us it takes about 200 years into an age before we're fully in there. So we have a lot. What's that? Right. But you reach a point where the transition occurs, and I believe the transition occurred in 1945, but it takes about 200 years to leave behind the old energy. Because remember, an age lasts about 2,200 years, 2,160 years, I believe. So it lasts a little longer. Matter of fact, Jesus, people think that Jesus showed up right at the beginning of the Age of Pisces, but he was actually over 100 years into the Age of Pisces before he showed up. So it's quite possible that we may be somewhat into the Age of Aquarius before the Messiah of this age shows up. So anyway, Aquarius is an air sign. So we're leaving water and going into the air sign. We're leaving emotion and going into an age that is ruled by mind. Now what's interesting about this age that we're going into is we're going into Aquarius on two levels. We have the Aquarius on the smaller cycle of just over 2,000 years, but then there's the greater cycle of, what's the greater cycle, 2,400 years or something like that, Mike, Michael?
Cycle?
Yeah, the greater zodiacal cycle. Do you remember the number?
25.6, I don't know the exact number.
How many?
Between 25 and 26,000.
Yeah, somewhere around 25,000 years. So each one of these greater cycles is actually governed by a sign also. Now we're entering a smaller cycle of Aquarius, but then on a greater level, each one of these 25,000 year cycles is also governed by one of the 12 signs. And we're entering Aquarius on the smaller level of the 2,000 year period, but then we're entering a greater Aquarius age on a 25,000 year period. So on the greater zodiac, we will be in Aquarius for 25,000 years. On the smaller cycle, we'll be in it for just over 2,000. So for over 2,000 years, we'll be Aquarius within Aquarius, which means this is really a choice period, because Aquarius is a mental sign, and it's also a sign that's governed by the keyword of service. So service through the power of the mind will be very powerful over the next 2,000 years. But what the hurdle we have to go through is, for about 200 years, we're going to have a lot of pull to pull us backwards from strong emotional energy of Pisces. And what's the key word of Pisces?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. The key word of Aquarius is service. Okay. The key word of Pisces is sacrifice, symbolized by the sacrifice of Christ. And the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the message was, sacrifice all that is lower so that you can attain the higher. And people sacrificed like crazy. Even during the Dark Ages, where people were dirt poor, the church authorities had people sacrifice all they had so they could build these tremendous cathedrals and buildings to the glory of God. I mean, the poor people didn't get anything out of it to speak of outside of to attend church there, maybe. But they sacrificed, a lot of these people sacrificed all they had, all the extra money they had, to the church in the medieval times, so that they could build these great cathedrals. And if you ever go to England, you'll see they have tremendous buildings over there that were dedicated supposedly to the glory of God, built on the backs of many people that were very poor. Now, many also donated their labor that had skills. It was the age of sacrifice. The Christians were sacrificed to the lions. It was emphasized to sacrifice your life to enter the kingdom of God, so many sacrificed their lives. They were told, for instance, that they had once a year register with the Roman government as acknowledging that Caesar was God. And if they didn't do that, they could be jailed or killed or fed to the lions. Can you imagine that today if we all had to acknowledge Obama was God? Or the Russians had to acknowledge that Putin was God. That would be a pretty tough decision for people to make. But they were told, well, sacrifice. Now, this is carried on today, so the ministers, the TV ministers and that, will preach a sermon and say, you must sacrifice and send us your money. And many people do sacrifice a lot over the years, and they send a lot of money to these preachers, and the preachers live high on the hog. Remember Jimmy Baker? He lived high on the hog. The Bhagwan had all these Rolls Royces. He had 6 Rolls Royces, and he could only drive around in one at a time, but he had a half a dozen Rolls Royces, and he lived the good life thanks to the sacrifice of his followers. And the followers, for the past 2,000 years, the big message has been to sacrifice. Now, as we enter the new age, what we do is we take the best from the old and drop what doesn't work. So keeping this in mind, Are we supposed to leave sacrifice totally behind or learn from it? Where did they go wrong with sacrificing? Because what people do, they learn a certain lesson, like about sacrifice, and then they go overboard and it's misused. And it was misused to the extent that a lot of people sacrificed to make their church elders rich. And that's not the type of sacrifice Jesus called for. He called for sacrifice to help those that are in need, not to make the church elders rich, or not to make others comfortable, but to help those in need and to help the work go forward. They sacrificed, they joined their forces together as they created the early Christian church and pooled their monies together, and so that the apostles could have the free time to go out and teach. But they lived very sparsely. They just had enough to fulfill their needs as they went out to teach about the kingdom of God. And they were willing to sacrifice what was necessary. So the key of sacrifice is to sacrifice what is necessary. But if you sacrifice what is not necessary, you're not doing any good. You may be doing more harm than good. You may be an enabler. If we're enabling our minister or priest or prophet to live high on the hog or to squander our money in ways that does not benefit the church or the poor, then that's a misuse of sacrifice. That's sacrificing from an emotional level. Sacrificing from pure emotion only with no mind involved is a misuse of energy. And this is what has happened with people in many of the churches today. They sacrifice just because they're told to sacrifice. They pay their tithing because they're told to pay it. Or they're told to donate their time just because they're told to. They don't think about where this goes. Is it really doing any good? If you can really do some good, then sacrifice is good in this age.